B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch them.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's a Wednesday, which is not a normal Greg Bedard day, but the big boy had some travel issues getting back from Kansas City. He's just arrived back in the Boston metro area. So we got Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal on a Wednesday today from 2 to 4. Hardcore X and O analysis. Bedard, how you doing? How was your trip back?
Circus, but whatever.
Okay, big boy hump day.
Sorry, go.
So it's the life you've chosen, Bedard, right?
Yes.
That's the deal. So what stands out to you? Where do you want to start? Pat's Chiefs, Pat's Rams, you pick it.
Okay. A couple of things about the game. I think what decided the game basically boils down to the coaching differential. And, you know, I don't want to say it's Bill Belichick being brilliant. I think it's Andy Reid not being good enough. Like, I mean, Patriots they didn't really play abnormally. You know, I mean, they did what we thought we were going to do. We talked about it last week. Put a safety over the top of Tyreek Hill. Don't let him beat you deep. Take care of Kelsey. Beat him up a little bit. That's what they did. So, for the Chiefs, a couple different things. That they couldn't find a way to get Tyreek Hill more touches somehow is just egregious. I mean, it's just a complete failure on Andy Reid's part. The other thing, as far as the Patriots' offense, and this sort of goes to coaching, but teams have to realize that this is a completely different Patriots offense, and you have to play them as such. Like, you can't go... And yes, the Chiefs played with, you know, a 3-4, quote-unquote. You have to match personnel against them. Like, when they put out the fullback, two tight ends, two backs, one tight end, you got to go heavy. You got to match... Don't match Rob Gronkowski with a safety. Match him with a linebacker. Dwayne Allen, match him with a linebacker. Make them throw the ball. Because right now, the Patriots are in the mode. They are going to run if you go light against them. That's what they're going to do. And that's the, I don't know, I want to call it the strength of their team, but it's what they're doing well right now. So this is going to come into play in the Super Bowl because the Rams basically play with one linebacker all the time. They put Mark Barron, the safety, in the box. Like, if the Rams do that, the Patriots are just going to put more and more heavy guys on the field and just run the ball. That's what they're going to do. So you have to change the way you're playing. You need to say, in the past, you'd be like, okay, I'm afraid of Brady. We need to rush for, get pressure. We need to, cover them, play coverage, all that stuff. No. Now, you need to stop the run and make them pass. You want the Patriots to pass, and you want to sit safeties at like 10, 12 yards. Brady's not throwing down the field. He's not going. How are the Chiefs playing with a safety 30 yards down the field? How are they playing cover two at the end of the game and letting Edelman go down the middle of the field? I mean, you can't play them that way anymore. It's a different team. It's a different offense. You have to adjust. And then the other thing was Andy Reid completely botched the end of the first half and the end of the game. Completely botched.
How did he botch the end of the game? The first half we went over with Perillo, it was a good point. He called a timeout. Andy Reid did with the Patriots. Really just content to bleed out the clock there at the end of the second quarter. He stopped the clock for the Patriots. They gained a long play on a James White dump off or something. So we hit on that yesterday. How did Reid botch the end of the clock in the fourth quarter?
Okay, so the Chiefs get the ball back. I don't have my play sheet.
Go ahead, just talk.
But, so whatever, it's like what, 3-plus minutes? Like almost 4 minutes left in the game. They get the ball back. They need a field goal, correct, to tie the game. So you need to – you're not just playing to score, to go ahead, whatever. You're also playing the clock and Brady and Belichick. Like, you can't just say – just worry about – you can't be in your play sheet and worry about how we're going to score. You have to manage the game.
So, again, they're down 24-21, 3:32 left. They take over at their own 32.
What was the score?
It was a 3-point game.
Yeah, 3-point game.
24-21.
And how much time was left?
3:32.
Okay, 3:32. So you know, you just need a field goal. And right now, you're pretty much, unless you get stuffed on the first three downs, you're pretty much four down territory.
So you're saying you got to manage the clock there to either be kicking with no time on the clock or scoring.
Yes.
You're managing there to not give Brady the ball back.
They're not getting the ball back. Either we're going to overtime or we're winning the game. They're not getting the ball back. That has to be the end of the game scenario in that circumstance, which entails you need to run the ball on first down.
Slow it down.
Yeah, you got to run the ball on first down. So not only does he not do it there, but he gets two more breaks. The penalties against Jackson.
Right.
First downs again. What did he do each time? He threw the ball.
Yep, both times. Incomplete.
Incomplete.
Stops the clock.
He had three. Not only did he screw up the first play of the drive, then he got two more chances to okay, I lost my mind. Okay, we need to run clock. We need to do it. And what did he do? He throws incomplete. I mean, that's just a complete failure on Andy Reid's part. You have to manage the game better there. You cannot let the Patriots get the ball back. It's either, you know, we're losing on four downs or we're kicking a game-tying field goal, we're going to overtime, or we're winning the game. Those are the only three options.
Okay, so they end up with first and goal at the two after the long dump-off pass to Watkins that, you know, was an offensive PI to boot. But they go down there to the two-yard line, first and goal at the two, 2:06 left. Have you gone back and watched the play? Do you think the Patriots let him score there? Because they dove in from 2 yards. Williams dove in from 2 yards there on first down, north of the two-minute warning, okay? Pats preserve all three timeouts and their two-minute warning. And Andy Reid did run there. He did run first and goal at the two. Did we go back and watch that play? Did the Pats get their pad level up? They let them score?
I'll do it right now. My recollection during the game is they didn't let them score on purpose, but maybe they did.
So it was on last night on NFL Network, and I made a point to watch it. On the outside, or at least at the linebacker level, it looked like they were up.
They all just stood up.
Looked that way to me.
Okay, so I wonder about that. I mean, smart play there by the Patriots at that juncture. You know, get it over with, get the ball back, get control of the game again in your hands. And so, I mean, I think that's a fair point, Greg. It never occurred to me.
they only took a minute 29 off the clock.
Because it never occurred to Andy Reid.
Of course it didn't.
Right? And so there's that. Am I supposed to be convinced of the Patriots after that game? Because this is what I'm sensing now. That people have sort of added that one onto their performance against the Chargers and say they're all the way back, firing on all cylinders. With the way that they're playing, you can't bet against them. Should I feel that way after that Chiefs game? Because the more I think about it, the more I know that game could have gone either way. You can make the case they should have lost it, not won it. They easily could have been -4 on turnovers. And there are mistakes across the board that people don't even talk about now in the final 30 minutes of that ball game that if they repeat, half of me wants to say they got away with one in Kansas City. Like, should I be more convinced or less convinced after that game? Because everyone is more convinced.
I'll just tell you, where I am, I'm more convinced just because they are, on a whole, they are executing much better than they did down the stretch in the season. And the other thing is that Brady is playing much better than he did, you know, say, a
month and a half
through
ago.
The Buffalo game.
Yeah.
You know, before the last game of the season. You know, Brady was leaving plays on the field. Each of the last two games, there were a couple decisions that you could core with, but they were really minor. So he's playing a lot better. He's not bailing out of any throws. I mean, he's stepping into everything. He's not affected by the rush. So, you know, if he keeps playing like that and not the guy who's spinning out of stuff earlier in the season, then I'm fine with where they are. And, you know, they're just – overall, they're just playing better in all three phases.
See, starting yesterday, I started to feel like you feel right now, which is I'm starting to wonder when you really go back and look, how well did they play? And so there were times they played well, but there were other times where you think – you know, interception in the end zone, another one that should have decided the game if Dee Ford knew where to line up, frankly.
People are overlooking that. Do you know what an unforced error that was? You didn't draw them offside.
No. Just huge mistake by Kansas City.
He just decides to line up offsides.
And they gave up 31 points in 12 minutes of possession in the second half.
But the other reason why, you know, I'm more of a believer in this team is because, number one, the setting that they were in, okay? It was, you know, yes, you can make all these arguments about how they played down the stretch, the mistakes they made, things like that. Where they were against the Chiefs, okay, on the road in that cold, like, you know, that factors into the points as far as I'm concerned. And then the other thing is, you know, Pat Mahomes is just damn good, and he makes plays. And no, there are some good players on that team that make plays. So you combine those two things, then I'm okay with how they ultimately, quote-unquote, play.
Well, certainly for judging them against themselves earlier in the season, it is, in many respects, night and day. So, like, I agree with that. I agree with that. But overall, and I don't even hold those points against him. I mean, I haven't sat here and ripped on the defense for giving up those points. That game opened wide open and became a track meet. And so, yeah, eventually you're going to give up plays to a brilliant young player in Mahomes. Like, I'm not even criticizing him for that. I'm talking about the turnovers. I'm talking about the turnovers that were just a hair. I mean, whether Edelman touched that or not, that was exceptionally lucky that was not a turnover. And I do not consider it a wash that Brady threw an interception three plays later. Why couldn't he have thrown an interception three plays after the Chiefs kicked off after scoring? That was a huge play right there. So whether that was a good call or not, it was still millimeters. So they were lucky that wasn't a fumble there. The D Ford thing is incredibly lucky. They did nothing to affect that play. And so I'm just talking about those sort of things. I mean, can I give you one more that no one's talking about? No one? It was Trey Flowers that jumped off sides on that second-to-last Chiefs play, right? Do you know what huge play that was?
Yeah, it's gigantic.
That allowed the Chiefs to stop the clock at 16 seconds. They had no timeouts at that point. It gave Mahomes a free play, which allowed him to chuck it down the field and take a chance. Who did he throw it to on that play, by
Robinson,
the way?
DeMarcus Robinson.
To throw it to his fourth receiver or whoever. All because there were no timeouts left. Well, that's a mind-numbing mistake that if the Pats lose the coin flip and KC goes down and scores, you go back and you say, that offside's killed you. It allowed him to take a shot. They stopped the clock, set up the whole thing. I mean, look, maybe they should have been able to run down there and snap the ball and figure it out, but it's the Chiefs. You certainly gave them some breathing room there. So, I mean, I just think that the second half was littered with that stuff. It's like, I don't know. They survived it, but they weren't dialed in like they were the week before against the Chargers. The week before they were. That was complete, you know, domination, dialed in both sides of the ball. This thing was sloppy, and they got away with it.
I mean, there's no question that the whole narrative off of this game, like the thin line between the way we talk about this team and Brady and everything over just a couple of plays or a couple inches here and there. I mean, if D Ford isn't lined up offsides, we're talking about Tom Brady throwing three interceptions,
right?
And probably this being the end of things.
Or, well, I don't know.
I mean, you know,
look, I wouldn't.
That would be the narrative nationally.
I mean, I wouldn't go there, but it would be, you know, was that Rob Gronkowski's epitaph?
Right.
Was that his final play? And you know, they can't win on the road, and blah blah blah. I mean, there'd be that thing for sure. But if D Ford just puts his hand a foot inside the line. It's a three interception game, maybe four turnovers, depending on how that Edelman thing goes. You've given up, a 10-point fourth quarter lead. Like, I mean, do you know how close you were to have that happening?
Mm-hmm.
If you just lose the flipping coin flip, we go back and talk about all those things. So I don't know. They're playing better than they have been for sure. They flipped a switch, sure. I'll grant you that. But just how am I supposed to feel coming off of that game? I don't know.
I mean, I just don't think that there's any way. In that circumstance, at that place, with that quarterback, that you're going to get some sort of dominating effort that you're like, okay, well, the Patriots are a wagon and they're going on to the Super Bowl. I just that just was not going to happen. So for them to emerge with any victory at that place, and yes, they blew a lead, but for them to get it, how well they played, you know, I'm fine with the result, and I do feel differently about this team just because of the way they're playing. They're playing so much better and executing so much better than they did a month ago. It's not even funny.
Okay, there it is. Opening thoughts. What are yours? Write to your calls after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mads.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
A lot of respect for them. They've been doing it as consistently as any organization in the history of this league. And I've gotten a chance to get to know Coach Belichick a little bit. I've had a relationship with Josh McDaniels. Really, we practiced against those guys when I was in Washington early on and kind of have kept in contact with them. And, you know, they're a team that you're always watching the way they do things, and you just have so much respect for the way that they've operated over the last handful of years. So it's going to be a great challenge, something that we'll get started on as soon as we end up here.
Show up on the simulcast, I just crack myself in the mouth.
And you're
I need a GIF.
With my headset.
The big one's cut.
Oh my God, that was so effing annoying. God dang it. God.
It's rough in here.
You're a boob.
Oh my God.
B-O-O-B boob.
I mean, I can't even duplicate what I did there. My headset got jammed, and so I tried to rip it off, and it cracked me in the mouth. I'm bleeding. Dang it.
You've had a rough few days.
God, that's annoying. Exactly. So that's Todd McVay on his good buddy Bill Belichick. you'll hear Bill talk about his relationship with McVay later on. I found it interesting the way they both answered that question. McVay had another answer that I thought was interesting. Before I get to the phones, Jimmy, play the one on the strength and game planning. So he's talking about McVay talking about the challenge of going against Bill Belichick game planning wise.
Coach Belichick's the best at this. What do the Rams do best, and how are we going to say we're not coming out of this game letting them beat us doing this? And that's why we've got to be aware of what are those things. I think that our players have done a nice job specific to the offense, demonstrating Jared spreads the ball around. You get seven different guys involved, whether it's running the football, five different guys catching it that Jared spread it around to, really, actually more than that when you include the backs, but all the tight ends, the receivers that were playing, got involved in the game. We've had the ability to run or throw it. So we'll see what kind of approach that they want to be able to take. But you know that they've got a great understanding of how to attack you and make you feel like, all right, you're in defense mode when you're on offense.
Okay, so that thing about Bill's best at taking away that one thing you do, which is true. Okay, so McVay knows it. What's that one thing in Los Angeles?
I haven't studied them enough to really have a beat on that.
But even just, from your perch, last week it makes sense. You start with Hill or you start with Kelsey, and that's always what they've done, and that's sort of clear, I think, what you do there.
No question it's clear, yeah.
Or
it's the running game. It's the running game and their play action. Like, the Patriots need to make them one-dimensional, not fool for the play action. But I think the bigger thing in this game...
I mean, is there one guy that you focus on? Because if you focus on Gurley, they'll bench his ass and bring in the fat 40.
Right. Well, just stop him. But I'll tell you what I think is going to be the biggest factor in this game. And with Patriots, with 2 weeks to prepare, I expect them to be dialed up on this. But, who knows after the past couple Super Bowls. One thing about Goff and McVay. McVay talks to Goff right up until the 15-second clock.
Yeah, the 15 seconds it turns off. Yeah.
So I expect the Patriots to show something up until 15 and then switch.
Oh, I love this cat and mouse. Manning used to do that all the time,
yes,
too, right? Peyton Manning was known for that. Why do you think he'd take it, all that late stuff? It was all on the clock. So I love that cat and mouse.
Yeah,
so it's a good point. Yeah.
I think the Patriots are going to try to confuse Goff. They're going to take away. So McVay's going to be talking to him. Look for this coverage. Look for this guy coming off. And then all of a sudden at the 15-second, when it gets the communication from the coach to the quarterback gets cut off, then the Patriots flip into something else, and then all of a sudden Goff freezes. That's what I expect to happen in the game.
I mean, just looking at it now on paper, I didn't realize they were as much of a running team as they were.
They are.
Huge. Too much. But even still, there's two running backs. And those receivers... There's no one clear-cut guy, is there?
No.
Woods, people say that? I mean, I don't know. Is it Wood?
Robert Woods.
Yeah, Woods.
So, but not even. Sometimes Cooks, Woods, I mean, they spread the ball. I mean, I think the scheme's great, but there's not like that one thing that you would say, we take this out, make them play left-handed. Like, I don't think you can do that to the Rams.
Kind of like Philly last year?
That's an interesting analogy. Let's get to the phones, as promised. Let's lead off with Brian in Boston. Hi, Brian.
What's up, Felger? It's actually B Money. So I'm now
what's up,
married.
B?
So yes, what's up, man? I go as Brian now. My wife said I had to. So,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's all.
I don't like Brian Money.
Hey, happy wife, happy life. So, couple things I want to talk to you about, boys. The first thing is this, Felger. I don't really respect you, honestly, because when you pick the Chiefs, you come in Monday morning and you're like, the Chiefs won, but the refs. And the thing is, I don't think you remember the drive before the Brady interception. Travis Kelce got hit by Gilmore, and he fumbled, and Hightower recovered it. And that game would have been over right then and there. And so I respect Maz because he's like, hey, listen, I'm a man. I was wrong, whatever, you know. And so you're like, oh, the refs, you know, it doesn't matter. The both calls went both ways. My second point that I just want to talk to you about is all summer long, I hear you two bozos, where? Bad. No training camp. Brady's missing OTAs. Bad. Where is he? He's in the same position he was all his career. Back in the Super Bowl. I hope you enjoyed the ball gag, Felger. It's been real.
Okay, babe. You called me after the Kansas City game, not before. So it did impact him. They were on the road this year in the AFC title game, but that's okay.
Yeah, and don't go lumping me with that OTA stuff, Brian.
Brian Money. Doesn't have quite the same ring, does it? Your wife married you for who you are, man. Be money. Be yeah. who you are.
Or be a wuss.
Here's Mike and Sterling. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So my question, Felger, I don't know if I'm crazy, you can tell me, but Patriots special teams this year, at the end of the second half against the Chiefs game, we squib kicked the ball, and they now have the ball at the 38-yard line. Is Gostkowski the only kicker in the league that is unable to kick the ball through the end zone?
Nobody.
It seems like all year long we have continued to kick the ball short, and I don't know if this is a nerd stat thing that the Patriots do like the Red Sox, but I've had enough of them not being able to kick the ball through the end zone and giving guys the ball at the 40-yard line.
Okay, fair point, Mike. I mean, given how poor they've been covering kicks, why do they continue to kick short? Now, maybe in this game they just couldn't because of the
weather.
The weather. So that's – but it's really been a recurring theme. How often do they try and drop it down? They're inside the five and give up a return.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, it's not – it has nothing to do with Gostkowski. This is under orders from Belichick and Judge. So whatever they're doing, it's because the coaches want it that way. Why are they deciding to do it? I think a lot of times they just want the other team to handle the ball. And they think they're going to choke, and they're going to get a good hit, and the ball's going to pop loose, something like that. I think they want more cracks at those types of plays, and so they are confident in their coverage abilities. You know, is it warranted at this point? I don't know, but
no.
I think that's the strategy.
No, it's not. Look, I didn't think their coverage was great in this game, their kick coverage. So what were the final numbers on the kickoff returns for the Chiefs? They were pretty good, if I remember right. So I just think that, they're not as bad covering kicks as they were early in the year, but they're still not good at it. It's not like they're holding teams inside the 20 all the time.
So Kansas City's, this is where they started on. You know what? I can't even piece it together, so I'm not even going to try. Let's go right up to three up and three down, okay? We've gone over the film and all that. We'll do that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub. It's time for three up.
He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders.
And three down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there and Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
Three down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, we've gone over the film, consulted our play sheets, going over all the notes. Three stars, three studs, three duds. Patriots rousing win over the Chiefs in the AFC title game on Sunday night. Bedard, who's your number one star?
Keep your nose in your own book over there, Greg.
Kyle Van Noy. He was tremendous in this game. And it wasn't just, you know, the sacks and things like that. It was, you know, there were a couple plays. Like, the Chiefs had a really nice screen set up and dialed up. They had two blockers on Van Noy, and he beat them both and held them 5 yards. I mean, those are the types of, you know, minor plays that end up to be big. And he had plenty of those in this game.
Number one star, Kyle Van Noy.
Trent Brown, left tackle. Again, on behalf of the entire offensive line, but really Brown in particular. D. Ford lines up on that Kansas City defensive right, most of the time invisible in this game. Absolutely freaking invisible. I thought Brown was a force in this game. He was awesome.
Second star,
David Andrews. And basically, you could put everybody on the offensive line except for Marcus Cannon in this. But I thought David Andrews in the middle, he really controlled the game. He would get to the second level until the Chiefs finally wised up and changed their alignment in the second half. But I thought Andrews was the best offensive lineman from start to finish.
Pat's offensive line as good as advertised this year and recently?
Yes. And by the way, the Rams' offensive line is damn good, so this Super Bowl week is going to be like a, you know, shirt off.
It's going to be like
basking
a
Yeah,
it's going to be like a porn festival for you.
Yes,
seriously, you're watching game film naked in your hotel room all week.
Andrew Whitworth, Joe Tooney, love it.
Oh God, you need help, my friend. Van Noy, heck, he was awesome in this game. And it occurred to me this year, ever since we ripped him, he's played his best football.
You're welcome, Boston.
Best football
you're welcome,
of his
Kyle.
Career.
Yep, you're welcome.
So Kyle will be happy to talk to you at the Super Bowl. If you're interested, come on over to Radio Row. Be happy to sit down with you.
Third star.
Tom Brady in fourth quarter and overtime. I mean, he was incredible. I mean, he had more positive plays in that stretch, like the last two drives, basically, than he has in, you know, some games this season. I mean, he was incredible down the stretch. He really was.
So we're eliminating the first three quarters now?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing?
Yep.
Okay.
Tom Brady in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Yep.
So I'm going to take, Matthew Slater on that one punt as my third star.
Exactly. Yeah, the one play, it was game
changer. It's my list. I can do whatever I want.
Good God.
Yeah, good for you.
Yep.
I went, believe it or not, Chris Hogan. I thought he was a sneaky important player in this game.
That catch was ridiculous.
And so look, you know, Edelman was back to being himself in the Chargers game, and he made some big plays in this one too, so maybe I'm holding the Chargers game against him. Gronk was, for the most part, has been good this postseason. I thought Hogan was really one of the keys to the game. He was involved in that offense. He was good. To me, big factor.
Okay. I mean, all year we wondered who's going to make the Danny Amendola playoff plays. Hogan made it. I mean, that's the Amendola play.
No question. First thing I thought of. All right, three duds. Who are the three downs for the Patriots in this game? Number one.
This is easy.
Number
J.C.
one,
Jackson. Just, you know, I mean, he's lucky he wasn't flagged about a dozen more times in this game. I mean, basically, he just plays tackle football there in coverage. But, you know, he gave up some stuff. The penalties, you know, all that stuff added up to, you know, it wasn't great from him.
J.C. Jackson in a runaway. In a runaway. He was the worst Patriot on the field.
Okay, second dud.
Dwayne Allen.
I love it.
I don't know what he does. I mean, you know, yeah, he makes some good run blocks sometimes, but other times, I mean, he's out there for like a dozen plays, and he's like hit or miss. That's, I don't know. It's not good enough.
What's his middle initial, Greg?
You. I don't know.
You. Useless. Dwayne U. Allen for useless. That's what it is. Dwayne U. Allen. There you go. I went Cordarrelle Patterson. Again, like the only times they throw to you, you drop it. He sucked in this game. I thought he sucked. And he's bored. I don't know why Brady's thrown to him in the fourth quarter. Convenient how you ignored those. But nonetheless, Patterson to me was dreadful in this game.
Third dud.
Patterson.
I mean, boy, Bedard.
You know, I don't know where the secret weapon is, but he's gone MIA of late.
Stephon Gilmore. I wasn't thrilled with him in the Chargers game either, but in this one he gave up, what, 114 yards receiving to Sammy Watkins? I know one of them was on a pick play, but there was that 54-yarder, I think it was, down the field where Mahomes got out of the pocket and Gilmore let Watkins get behind him. This is two games in a row now where Gilmore's allowed a big play. And so for a guy who's all pro corner, unanimous select, all this stuff, the best corner in the league this year, he's given up two big plays in the postseason. Oh, big ones.
Olarmaz?
Yes, definitely overrated. Absolutely he is. Now look, he's a good player, but people are talking about him like we used to talk about Sherman when he was with the Seahawks, or Revis with the Jets. He's not that kind of player. Sammy Watkins had more receiving yards this game than any other receiver. Gilmore was on him the whole night. So like that 54-yard pass play, tell me that one doesn't drive you crazy.
A huge play.
I mean, that was unbelievable to give that play up. So Gilmore to me has not been good in the playoffs so far.
Okay, there's your three up and your three down. Get back to the phones. As promised, Greg Bedard in our studios. We've got Alan in Maine. What do you got, Alan?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What do you got?
Great to be on the show. Let's talk about some basic reasons why the Patriots are just a frankly better team that you guys don't really talk about that much.
You just got to get to it, Alan.
In general or compared to who?
Get to it, though.
In general, basically, but throw away the stats, throw away a few of those kind of things. Let's just talk Tom Brady, 6'4", he has excellent vision, and he never hesitates when he throws the ball. Our defense...
You're right, we don't talk about Tom Brady enough, you're right. No one mentions Tom Brady and how good he is.
That vision didn't really work in that end zone throw.
You really uncovered one there. Boy, we miss on that one. I'm not going to wait around for the guy in Maine to get to all of his points. I could tell it was going to be too laborious.
By the way,
they move at a slower pace up there.
By the way, on that pick, I think that Brady just didn't see Raglan. He was behind a bunch of linemen. He didn't even see him there. So I think when he jumped up and caught the ball, it was a complete surprise to him.
Of course. Do you blame the play call or you blame Brady?
The play call. They just should have run the ball. I mean, they were running it down their throats.
It was interesting to hear Belichick in the postgame say, we tried to get too cute. So who's he... Is he blaming himself? Is he blaming Josh? Is he blaming Tom? Who's he blaming?
I mean, it's a possibility that Tom checked out of it.
I mean, because if that's the play, he could veto it. He's right there.
He could change anything he wants.
I knew they were going to throw there. Just because I felt like they were running the ball and like this is the time to sneak Gronk out there. They're going to try it.
Throw it.
We've got Joe in Worcester. Go, Joe.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to talk real quick. In the first half, our defense was really good. But in the second half, it seems that either Kansas City figured something out or our defense started making mistakes. I just want to know what you guys think about that. And then also, how do you think the game would have gone if Kareem Hunt was still a member of the Chiefs?
Okay. I mean, it wouldn't have been any worse, but Williams was really productive in that game, catching the ball. Again, for all my little nitpicks on the Patriots, and I think there's several, I think they played sloppy and, you know, in some respects got away with one there. I'm not ripping on the defense. I mean... It is what it is. That's Mahomes got hot. The game opened up. It became that kind of game. And so, like, I mean, that's sort of down on my list. I'm really more on the offensive mistakes, the Edelman mistake that they got away with. The fact you could have easily had four turnovers in that ball game. I mean, just millimeters away from four turnovers. And if not for a complete Kansas City boner lining up offsides, you frankly lose that game because you sort of lose control of it. But the points that the Chiefs scored... I sure chalk that up to that's going to happen.
Well, they're explosive. I mean, and Belichick knows it. This is why he wants to keep the ball the whole time, because he knows it that they're that good. And to me, one of the big differences in the game was Damian Williams started getting the ball in the passing game in the second half, and I just double-checked it. All of them were in the second half, all five catches.
Mahomes had chances in the first half when he was taking sacks or getting flush, where Williams was open in the flat, and he's just not at the point yet in his career just to take the quick check down, get it into his hands, let him go one-on-one against somebody where that would have been a much better play for them. Part of the thing with the defense is, you know, one of the Brady interceptions gave the Chiefs a short field. So I'm not going to completely, you know, rip on the defense. And you combine that with the Chiefs are just explosive. You're not going to hold them down all game. You're not at their place. And so I don't have a huge problem with the defense.
I mean, Williams was targeted just once in the first half and it was on that throw that Mahomes missed.
Right, down by the end zone. Wide open.
That was it. That was the only time he was targeted.
That was the Kareem Hunt play. Same play.
In the second half, they threw to him seven times. They completed five for 66 yards and two touchdowns. So to me, it was they changed their approach a little bit.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. Greg's got an interesting thought on what to do with old friend Aqib Talib this week. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I went back and watched it, which I didn't have a chance to do yesterday. That is a deliberate play by the receiver to take out Aqib. No attempt to get open. And I'll let the league handle the discipline on that play. It's not for me to decide, but it's one of the worst plays I've seen. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Remember that one, folks? Talk about a sore loser. Oh, did Belichick look like a baby on that? That was the AFC title game loss in Denver. 2013, right? Not 15.
That sounds 15. Right.
It was 15?
I think it was 15.
No, it was 13.
13.
It was?
Yeah, that was the 13 game.
Not
yeah.
long ago. Huh?
2013, Aqib Talib's covering a crossing route, and Wes Walker comes up and pops him and knocks Aqib Talib out of the game. Clean hit that the league did nothing about. You know, Bill says, I'll let the league look at that. Like that was some sort of dirty hit. Totally clean play, which the league did not look at. Did not discipline Welker on, but Bill, because he had a thing for Wes Welker after the contract and was upset about the loss, said it was one of the worst plays I've ever seen. One of the worst plays I've ever seen. Guy's been in the league 50 years, right? So, Aqib Talib, he's on the other sideline this week. He's in Los Angeles, and Greg, that made you think of something.
He's going to be a joy this week for Super Bowl week. Thank God he's there. Yeah, so when it comes to the Rams covering the Patriots, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, they have three cornerbacks, really. They have Talib and Marcus Peters at a starter. Nickel Roby Coleman comes in. He's the slot guy.
And he was the one that interfered on that last play in New Orleans.
Yes.
Roby Coleman.
And so what are they going to do? Are they going to leave Aqib Talib on Chris Hogan or Philip Dorsett during the game? I mean, I wouldn't do that.
That's a waste of Talib.
It is. I mean, the whole key to the Patriots' passing offense is Julian Edelman. So, you know, if I'm Wade Phillips, I'm putting Aqib Talib on Julian Edelman, telling him to maul Julian Edelman, coming off the line, whatever he wants to do, get your hands all over him, frustrate him, all that stuff. And if they do that, which I don't think they will, I think they love Roby Coleman. They just do. So I expect him to be on Edelman. But if Talib does get on Edelman, I expect the Patriots to run some pick plays and to pick off Mr. Talib, just like Wes Welker did in that game. So we'll see.
Little payback.
Okay, but, you know, payback and, you know, but Bill was really crying about Wes Welker. They're not about Aqib Talib. Yes. Was his guy. But I do think there is something with Talib where he overheats in these games, man.
Yep.
And that
he lost it in Super Bowl against Carolina.
Almost got thrown out for one of the worst face masks you'll ever see. It was like The Exorcist. He ripped that guy's face, you know, almost clear 180 degrees to his back. He should have gotten thrown out of that Carolina Super Bowl. He did not. But he's, you know, he tapped out of, well, I think that Welker play was the last play in that game. And I think there was another one, big game for the Patriots or maybe then Denver, that he couldn't finish because I think he's so nuts. I think he's so bananas that he gets overheated for these games and is, you can get to him. You can get to him and either knock him out or get him off his game or whatever. I would keep an eye on that.
I mean, I think they got a couple of guys like this on this team.
Yeah.
Sue, another one.
Sue
Peters, Talib.
You bet.
Like, if I'm the Patriots, I am telling Julian Edelman to talk at those guys.
Chirp.
Like getting off the bus.
Chirp.
Get in their head, get them frustrated, make them do something dumb because all three of them are fully capable of melting down and getting kicked out of that game.
Can Talib cover Edelman?
I think he can. I mean, I haven't studied him in a while, but, you know, he's their best cover guy. You know, you're going to have him cover Chris Hogan? Great. We'll see two passes.
So the play that he got hurt on, we said, was 2013. I just went to double-check it. 2015, he was covering Edelman on the two-point conversion. Right,
the ball.
So it was him on that play. I just don't know. Is he the kind of guy that can move laterally like that in the slot and chase him around all game? Well, I wonder.
Did on that play. It's good right there. So Aqib Talib, that factor. Back to your phones. As promised, Bill in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Bill.
How you doing, Felger?
Good, Bill.
Just a couple of comments on these last few games that we played, the Patriots. They had two, throwing passes, quarterbacks they were playing against were definitely guys that throw the ball. So they came up with a game plan to rush. And that's what they did, and they were just on their toes. And, man, it was a different team in those two games. There was nothing like the other 16 games. But this game coming up, I think they're going to have some problems. Because if they go to a four-man line watching out for the run on this team and don't get any pressure in there, that's a way that coach can control the game as far as the Rams are concerned.
Okay, well, let me just stop you there. Again, they pressured the crap out of Phillip Rivers. And they, apparently got after Mahomes, which I didn't think would be the strategy. I would try and mush rush him, keep him on the spot. But you wrote he responds poorly to pressure and man coverage, and that's how they played it.
Yep.
How do they do it with Jared Goff? Is that someone that you've got to pressure? And if you're selling out to pressure, does that leave you susceptible to all what, McVay likes to do there with the play action game?
They're pretty good, how they pressure. They don't really leave themselves, really exposed. At times, when they get desperate, they'll go, zero coverage and bring everybody. But I'm not too worried about that. As long as you don't let Cooks get behind you, which the Patriots know his deal. They know what he's capable of. I don't think they're going to have a problem.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Ted in Brighton, wait, just hold on. Ted, we'll get to your question in 10 questions. Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so with the talent on the defense the Rams present, do you see it like the 2015 Broncos at all, where they had 17 quarterback hits on Brady? Do you think Phillips can somehow replay that?
Okay, so the Phillips question, we brought this up yesterday. He got you in that 2015 AFC title game, surprised you by changing things up, not really blitzing you like he has in the past, got smart against Brady. Who's got the upper hand? I mean, that's a silly question. You're going to go Brady on that. Wade Phillips' ability to have another good game plan against you, what's your faith in him?
It's better than some of the guys. It's better than, Sutton, that's for sure.
Better than San Diego.
I think that, yes, Wade's going to try to get this. This is what Wade does. He brings pressure and he plays man to man, and he'll do a few. He'll have a few wrinkles ready. He is good about, like this past week against the Saints. Everybody knew the key is Kamara and the wide receiver.
What's Thomas?
So what do? They doubled Thomas. And they hit Kamara. And Kamara makes plays, but they were physical with him. So he is going to have a plan against Edelman and James White and, maybe a little bit with Gronkowski. But to me, the whole key in this game, I think for both sides, I think whoever is more effective on the ground is probably going to win this game. They're going to be in control. And I think both teams have the potential to run the ball well. And I think the easiest way to slow down Wade and what he wants to do with pressure stuff is to run the ball, and they're going to have a personnel advantage. Just like the Patriots run because they have a personnel advantage. It's not because of Sony Michel or this or that. It's because they have bigger people on the field, you have lighter people, we're going to run. And they're capable of it now because the offensive line is so much better than it has been in the past. So I expect the Patriots to do the same thing. They want to go out there with one linebacker on the field, good luck. Patriots are going to run it down your throat.
I mean, those two guys on the D-line, though, I don't know if I would mess with them.
Sue doesn't scare me.
Double team him.
Sue apparently doesn't scare them either, but he doesn't scare me. I've seen them handle him so many times. I sort of treat him like J.J. Watt. Like, they got the answer for that guy. Donald's a little bit different, okay? That guy's a little bit different, but, maybe I'm overlooking Sue, but
I mean, they've handled J.J. Watt.
Exactly,
they've handled Sue.
Exactly.
Like, I think the Patriots, they will put Devlin out there at times. They'll gauge it early in the game, but they will double team Sue and Donald at the point of attack and either come back with the tight end or the fullback or both on, draws and, you know, inside zone and powers and things like that. And that this is what they do in the running game. And they should be able, because the Rams only have one linebacker on the field and Mark Barron, the Patriots should be able to run on them. I don't care what they have at defensive tackle.
Okay, let's hit on the D Ford penalty. Again, one of the biggest penalty calls in the history of the Patriots. Maz says in the history of the league. What did D Ford think about it at the time? You'll hear that sound coming up right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.